Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. I'm excited to have with us today the head football coach at North Forney High School, Coach Randy Jackson. Coach Jackson is the author of The Culture Defeats Strategy, a book that's become really popular amongst coaches. He's out on the road doing some of his seminars, and he has his blog, The Culture Factory, which he shares some thoughts as well. Coach, it's great to have you here today and to dig into this topic of culture.
Hey, thanks a lot, Keith. Listen to your podcast all the time, so it's an honor to get to be back on. Thanks for having me.
Coach, you are a busy man because you put a lot of attention to detail in all the things you do in your program, and we're going to share some of that here today, and we're going to focus on one idea you have, one that you're going around the country and speaking about, the daily fist fight. What's the daily fist fight to you?
For me, it is just the overwhelming attention to detail that whatever you're going to, like for me, one of my big things is everything matters. And I think a lot of coaches who wish they could turn something around, if they would just watch, I mean, just the daily, hold them accountable. And so you have to have systems in place of that. So for us, when our guys walk in, there's going to be a song playing to how they dress. We're going to stand a certain way. We're going to lift weights a certain way and all that. And so I think it all has to be systems oriented. And so no matter what you want, if you talk about it every week, it's not going to happen. Some people think they can do Leadership Academy or talk culture or something, you know, every few weeks. If you don't do it pretty much every day, whatever you're trying to accomplish, you'll struggle to make it happen.
And I think one of the key words you put in there, Coach, was intentional. And you mentioned to me, you were telling me a little story about how you saw that in action when you were visiting Minnesota and PJ Fleck.
Yeah, so last spring I got to speak at the Minnesota Football Coaches Association clinic, and Coach Fleck spoke. It was during their spring ball, and luckily I got to go sit in on a team meeting that he had, and it was just fascinating. But you know, we're sitting there waiting for the meeting to start, and there's a song playing, Bruno Mars song, I mean, very upbeat, and one of the assistant coaches says, hey, you know, Coach, just to know how intentional Coach Fleck is, there's never any song played here that he didn't pick the song, and it's got a meaning behind it. So everything that they do there with culture and how they're trying to get things. I mean, it was Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and it was a high energy song. And so very intentional. And I think that's how you got to do everything. It takes a lot of work, but that's how you'll have a great culture.
I agree with you, Coach, 100%. I think it's that intentionality. It's the attention to detail, I think, that makes the difference. And, you know, we see that in, you know, the Super Bowl just happening recently in the New England Patriots, and a team who honestly everybody counted out. And you might say on paper, you know, people were talking about this guy maybe is over the hill, this guy doesn't have what it takes. Yet those guys go on and they're the best in the world. And I saw a neat little clip this morning of Bill Belichick. It was right before kickoff, and the roof of the stadium is open, and he's thinking about that. And he's thinking about, you know, because it was supposed to be closed. They had the fly. They were having the flyover. They wanted to have that. It would take about 8 minutes, and most likely they were going to have to kick off with the roof of the stadium open, which to him meant that there was going to be a wind factor. So it was something he was automatically thinking about, even though that thing was supposed to be closed. And guys like that, when you think about all those little things, I think that becomes part of your culture and how you do things as well. And that essentially drives teams to be elite, organizations to be elite, when they can be intentional and when they can focus on the details.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it this way because, I mean, it's, but the don't sweat the small stuff, but I would think Bill Belichick sweats everything. And, you know, I've been fortunate. Have you ever heard, Keith, of Nick Saban's Saturday morning staff meetings where they last 2 or 3 hours and he goes over every single thing, that every scenario that could happen during that game? Have y'all ever talked about any of that with anybody, his pregame meeting with his coaches?
We have not had that on the podcast, but it's something I know about. I would love to hear you talk about it, Coach.
Well, I got to visit one of their coaches one time, and he showed me a picture of the form that Coach Saban handed out to the guys, and I asked him if he could take a picture, if I could have a copy of it, and he wouldn't let me have a copy of it, but he did let me take a picture of it, and so I've kind of stolen it, of course, like everybody steals things. But I mean, it's got the weather report on it, it's got the officials, I mean, it's got a picture of every official. It's got little notes about them of kind of what they called in the past or whatever. And I mean, so it is so much work to be great. And I think that's just what people have to keep in mind. If you want to be great, it's a daily fist fight. You can't just, you know, we try to replicate that meeting, but you know, all our coaches are teaching and things like that. So I just don't have that kind of time, but the coaches who are great, they are attention to detail, and I think they really are sweating the small stuff.
Well, I can remember just that kind of thing. Like, my heroes have always been coaches, and I think back to, you know, my dad coaching high school football and just kind of sitting in those meetings, sitting in the locker room, in a coach's office, and just absorbing everything. And I remember those guys used to talk about, should we call heads or tails? What, you know, like they were thinking about that game that way. And I think that's part of it. Yes, you might not have the time, but there's things you want to focus on that, hey, it might win a game. There's so much detail. This game is so fun to coach. It's so challenging as well because there are so many different aspects of it. And you can go deep, deep, deep into details.
Yeah, and for me, Friday night, there's so many things you – it's like Bill Walsh said, the fewer decisions you can have to make when you're under pressure, the better off you are. And so I think it's imperative that you have – talk to your staff. Like, we're going to know what our 3 or 4 third and long plays are. We're not going to just shoot from the hip on third and long on a Friday night. And so I think the more of these things you can already have done, the better. And I think off season or strength and conditioning, you know, this time of the year, whatever you want to call it, is the same way. And I think it's all about having systems, but it can't be anything other than attention to detail. And I just know if we'll have staffs come visit our place, and I want them to look and go, okay, these guys are doing it right. Everything looks organized. And so for something, I don't know who said this, but for something to look flawless and looks like everything is just kind of flowing smoothly, then that means there was a lot of preparation beforehand to make it look that way.
Coach, when you think of the daily fist fight now at North Forney, and you guys are into your off season, what does that daily fist fight look like? Can you define that for us?
For us, it is having them dress exactly this, you know, stuff that we issue them. And for us, our guys right now, this time of the year, are going to be in a white T-shirt mm-hmm. with a big question mark on the front, which means we don't know about you. You have to prove yourself to us. We take a Sharpie and we write their name on the back. We write their maxes on the back. We've got squat, bench, and power clean on the back. And when we test, we scratch, or, you know, we put an X through it and we write their new max down. And so their shirts are tucked in. So we start with us. We have a first period athletics is what we call it here. So all our athletes, all our male athletes are with us. I think second period starts at 9:21. So we'll start before, as long as you're in sports, you can start whenever you want to. So we'll start track at 7:00, and all our guys run track. And so at 6:55, our guys are going to be in their family groups with their coach. And so we'll have groups just spread out. We have an indoor facility, and we got groups of kids, and they're checking roll, and they're, you know, they're dressed correctly and all that kind of stuff. Then at 7 o'clock, I'll blow the whistle, and they're all going to be on 1 yard line, and their toes are going to be on. What I tell them is, make sure you're on the, touching the line, but not on it. And so they're standing exactly the right way with their hands behind their back. It's in the small of their back and their toes. We'll have coaches walking down the line. If we see green between their toes and that white line, it's bad. If their foot is on the white line, it's bad. So for us, our daily fist fight is, and this is just one aspect of our daily fist fight, but our guys are going to dress exactly the same. They're going to be where they're supposed to be. And we're going to start our work. Before we ever start workout, we're going to have a little bit of discipline just with how they stand, and we're going to look perfect.
Coach, that's always not an easy thing to do, to get those guys to buy in. How do you handle those guys or coach up those guys who, I guess I'd say they're skeptics on, could be on anything. Maybe whether they're fit to do that and be a part of it, whether they want to be a part of it and put that work in, or whether they think it's all worthwhile. How do you deal with those guys who need to be coached up to get them all aligned and moving the same way? Because alignment and culture is important. We can have all those individuals, but those individuals and those personalities got to be going the same direction.
Yeah, and it's a tough thing. We are about 20 miles east of Dallas, and so we're kind of a school with a bunch of land around it. So this school was built 10 years ago and started with 450 students, and now we're at about 1,800. So we got people moving in all the time. So for us, if we have to be very intentional about our culture, because we're going to have kids come in every couple of weeks or something, and coming from programs who didn't have a great culture and certainly didn't have to be here this early and have to stand a certain way and things like that. So I think for the most part, you encourage them. I want to have coaches that they'll lay in traffic for. I want to have coaches that are relationship builders. And so you try to make sure they understand that, again, we've got core values and things like that. So, kind of like the military or whoever, the core values, you're trying to brainwash them a little bit, where, the 19-year-old will run up the hill and attack the, machine gun nest. A 35-year-old guy, he probably isn't going to run up the hill, So I think we've got them at the age where you can convince them, hey, this is what you need to do. This is how we do it. And if that doesn't work, if they just, if it's just not their thing, then we're certainly going to hold them accountable. I'm a big word guy. I love words, the meaning of words. So I've always got one coach dedicated to being the pit master. And the pit master is the guy who's in charge of the pit of misery. So if we got guys who are having a hard time with any drill or anything, we send them to the pit of misery, and I'll try to yell dilly dilly or something on the way. We have a little fun with it, but we're definitely going to hold them accountable, and we're not just going to, a term I use all the time, we're not just going to hope for the best. We're not going to look the other way. We're going to go to the nth degree. Every drill we do, they must stand with their toes on the, touching but not on it. So you're gonna have to buy into our culture or you won't last long.
Coach, I gotta ask, what goes on at the pit of misery?
Well, I tell them it's up to the pit master. So this is Texas, so it's not quite as cold or whatever, but the pit of misery is outside, and we're in shorts and t-shirts and all, so it might be 40 and windy or whatever, and they're up maybe lunging with plates, you know, burpees, just anything. I tell them, hey, do something that they don't want to come back to the pit. So it just varies with what the pit master feels like doing that day.
Coach, you mentioned beyond the track stuff you're doing in the morning, you guys then go into some leadership stuff that every day you're going to have, a leadership class, and you're going to be able to teach these guys how to lead within your culture.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll stand in front of my parents. We have a three parent meetings a year, and I'm going to tell them that their son is in a leadership academy that just happens to play football. And I think it's a very powerful statement to make, but there's certainly something you have to back up. But a true culture can be, I'm telling you, if you can do this every day, talk about things not football related or just teachable moments, you know. So what we'll do is during the season, I'll come up with, each coach will take a week, and Monday he'll present to the whole team, and we'll use video clips and kind of a PJ Flex style team meeting. It'll be really good. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they will get in what we call our family groups, and he'll whichever coach is in charge that week, there'll be questions, and our coaches will be facilitators, but their job is to get the players talking and discuss and all that kind of stuff. So, we're going to do 15 to 20 minutes of it every day, in season and out of season. And we really find ways to drive home, you know, what we want our program to be about.
Coach, the other thing you and I talked about with what you're doing is the branding portion of it, because, you know, I think you're doing some neat things. I love the question mark idea. I hadn't heard from you before about writing their maxes on the back. You had told me about the question mark. Which is pretty neat, though. I had a coach come on, and he had on the back of their defensive guys, their T-shirts, he had essentially, he calls it five fights. It's based on our advanced tackling system, and he would do it at SUNY Maritime, but it had every single behavior that they expected. So the fight was really the belief, and then the behavior was right next to it. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool, because you're going through all those parts of camp and those guys are in line and they're looking at that right in the, you know, on the back of them. And you have something like that on the T-shirts. These guys see each other's progress. You know, they see their own progress as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you can't hide those numbers. And I think that'd be a motivational thing. I mean, I'm 51 years old, and I still, if I had to wear a shirt like that, I'd want my numbers to be good. But when you're 16, you sure enough want your numbers to be good. So, and then any coach listening who's ever had laundry issues, so we wash our players' clothes every day, dry them, put them out. And so any coach that's ever done that, it's pretty common. We've got 135 players right now in our off season, and, you know, If the shirts are all exactly the same, then there's a lot of chance for laundry issue and somebody borrowing somebody's shirt. Nobody borrows each other's shirts now, and it's a lot simpler for us.
Yeah, definitely. Coach, in the branding aspect, you've come up with something pretty neat there. The Goon Squad in Goonville. Tell us what Goon stands for in your program.
Okay, yeah, so when I got here, you know, like most, you know, the jobs come open for a reason, and they were a little down, and I knew they had to have an identity. And so I started calling them Goons, and they loved it. And before you know it, it morphed into Goonville, Texas. I made a sign that looked just like a city limit sign. And so, in fact, that's the title of my next book, is Culture Feed Strategy 2, Goonville, Texas. And I kind of talk about some of this stuff in there. But, well, we went through the season. We sold, I mean, our booster club could have put Goonville on, you know, a dead animal, and we might have sold it. And so, but I knew I needed to define it. And so I think this is a big take home for anybody listening. If you want to slogan or anything that you want your program to be known about, known for, is you want your players to have some input in on it. So, you know, anything you're in on, you're in with. So, I got, you know, players together. We use WhatsApp, which is a big texting app. That's greatness and where we can communicate and all. And I just started asking them, hey, let's define goon. And, you know, what do y'all want G to stand for? And so we came up with grit, obsessed, 1% better each day, and next play. And so, because goon is a, I mean, I understand it's a thug, strike breaker, and things like that. And so there's another high school in our town, and they'll certainly let people know what goon stands for when they get a chance. And so with us defining it this way, grit, obsessed, 1% better, next play, it just has a lot different meaning to it and adds a little more validity to it, I guess. But wherever you are, I think if you can make an identity somewhere, I mean, we had one of our cheerleaders get on Google Maps and put a pin for North Forney High School as Goonville, you know, so everybody really bought into it. And, you know, when you get stuff like that, then that, now your culture's growing.
Coach, reading through your blog, there was one of your blogs caught my attention. You talked about the Battle of Agincourt and the Band of Brothers, which if you're a Shakespeare fan, you know that he's got an entire play kind of with this at the center of it. So being an English teacher myself, that kind of caught my attention. But I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that whole idea of band and brothers and what you're able to take away from the Battle of Agincourt.
Well, you know, for us, it is just standing together. And I try to just find as many teachable moments as I can. And so wherever I can find it, but, you know, you're not always going to be the favorite or whatever, or if you are the underdog, it doesn't mean that, you know, it ought to automatically be a loss or anything like that. But it's so, I think every coach has probably said this to his team before, but man, life is like this little window of guys being on teams is so brief, you know, and in the real world, before you know it, you're going to be in the real world. And the guy in the office next to you is not only going to not be your best friend like he was on the football team, but he's going to be in competition with you to sell cars. And so you're not going to have this feeling of a band of brothership very many times in your life. Right. And so enjoy it. And again, it's hard to get them to understand, but I'll ask them, you know, go home and ask your parents if they think they're a band of brothers with their coworkers, you know, and so just another way to drive home the point of it is special to be in our program. It is special to be in this locker room, and you need to enjoy every second of it because life goes fast. And when you walk out these doors, you're always going to be a Falcon, but you're never going to have 134 guys or whatever with you who ought to have your back the way we should have each other's back now.
Coach, in that story in Shakespeare's play, there's a great speech in there that King Henry V makes. And I actually used that to create a pregame speech the one time. I just love that one. But talk to us about the actual battle and the takeaways you have from the Battle of Agincourt.
Well, it talks about in there, they're outnumbered like 6-1. Mm-hmm. You know, no one's real sure about the numbers. You know, it's in the 1500s or whatever.
Yeah, but it was a lot to a little.
That's right. And no one disputes it wasn't a lot to a little. And they're trying to get back to England, and they are trapped. And but the battlefield becomes so muddy that the French just get bogged down. And so the English just slaughter them because the French can't move. And, you know, so of all the things that that you just, I guess my point on that is you just never know. Don't ever go into a game feeling like, hey, we're outmanned, we're out whatever. And guys who believe, who feel like they are a part of a band of brothers can, you know, I mean, let's face it, if the French and English played, you know, a best of seven, the English probably would have had a hard time, you know, the field wouldn't be muddy every time and this and that. But, you know, all we're asking you to do in football is win one game a week. So upsets can happen, but it won't happen if you're not a band of brothers and feel like you're taking the field as one unit.
And Coach, I think it was when you look at that, what happened there historically, it was about, well, the situations being right for them, for one, but them being prepared for those situations kind of goes back to what we were talking about with, you know, Bill Belichick and just thinking about every little detail. And then on top of that, their culture was strong. Their belief in each other was strong. They were aligned together. So it was almost that great blend. I know you talk about it as culture defeats strategy, but those things working together in that situation, which really is what happens on a Friday night. I do see a lot of coaches who work hard at building a culture, but maybe don't do a good job of taking that onto the field, that the ideas really don't physically come together like they've imagined them to. How are you sure that that culture really works hand in hand with strategy so that the outcome on a Friday night is a W?
Well, here's what we tell our guys is you don't win games, you win plays. And so this is kind of Nick Saban-ish here too, but each play has a history of its own. And so we talk constantly about we're not going to go win this game. We're going to go win more plays than our opponent's going to win. And so if these are just going to be 4-second games, and so we just have to take care of ourselves. So we've got this is in my first book, but a mannequin in our team room, and I call him Next. And there's got a white helmet with a gray face mask. No, there's not any decals on him. There's a white practice jersey with Next stenciled in on him, white practice paint. I mean, just a generic as you can look. And we just talk about focusing on us. And so we scout our opponents, we watch film and things like that. But for the most part, we're going to take our culture to the field and we're going to win plays. And so, if you think about, man, I gotta beat this guy in front of me, you know, 75 plays tonight or whatever. We try to get them to not look at the scoreboard. You know, we try to tell them that if you'll just win plays, then the score will just take care of itself.
Coach, kind of part of our culture here in football is that about 20% of our leadership in coaching is going to change a year. That means there's 20% of those programs out there have a new head coach right now. So those guys at this time of the year, they are busy either for the first time creating a culture as a first-time head coach or in a brand new program trying to change things. What advice do you have for those coaches out there who are starting from ground zero?
Oh, I mean, I love this question. So here's where you can gain the edge on people is attention to detail. The everything matters. If you think that if you can't get it, when I got to North 40 2 years ago, I would run them and get them tired. I mean, exhausted. And have them stand where their toes were touching the line but not on it. And it took us 3 or 4 weeks before we could do it. I mean, just zero discipline. And so I think it is so easy for coaches to think, to tell themselves, man, I got so much to do. I'm so busy. You know, how they act up with their teachers, you know, I want them to act right, but man, I just can't solve everything. Well, if you can't get them to act right with their teachers, then they're going to let you down during the game. And so if you can't get them to show up at a certain time. I guess if you're not willing to hold them accountable and have an everything matters with a daily fist fight, then you're not going to be successful as you could be. So I think that it is a deal that, I mean, I've got this in Culture Defeat Strategy too, of how many coaches don't see things, you know, like they don't see the finish where like for me, this is one of my big close fisted deals, is every drill you have, there should be a finish to it. And if they don't bust their butt 1 million miles an hour through that finish, you must hold them accountable. And for us, we're going to send them to the pit of misery. But some coaches are, let's just be honest. A lot of coaches aren't going to hold them accountable. They're going to, you know, well, he's going pretty fast. No, pretty fast ain't good enough. Pretty fast will get you beat. If I'm walking around and a guy doesn't finish, then, you know, I'm having an outer body experience. I'm literally floating over my body, riding on a unicorn, and I'm watching myself just, you know, go nutso. So if you want to win games, they are one, doing drills, having them dress a certain way. I mean, we all need to know what the new RPO is and things like that. But the biggest deal is the daily fist fight, leadership development, where you're brainwashing your culture into them and making sure that they're finishing through the line or whatever's important to you, make sure you hold them accountable daily.
Coach, I'm excited to see your second book. I know it's something you've been busy working on and finalizing here. Can you give us a preview of what we might see in that?
Yeah, it is basically, it takes you through my first year at North Forney, which is two seasons ago, and talks about, like, I mean, the very first is talk. My first day here at North Forney, we ran some 200s, and I mean, we ran three of them, and I had 15 kids grow up. So we went from, so basically I'm talking about how we instilled our culture through the daily fist fight. And we had a great season. We were 10-3 and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so just through the everything matters, I talk about the elite coaching staff, what makes an elite assistant coach, our responsibility to help raise kids. There's a chapter in there called Leaders Eat Last, which just talks about being a servant leader. I've got a chapter in there called Practices Everything, which talks about deliberate practice, how much you should plan for practice, things like that. And then I try to tie it all back up with Goonville, Texas, and how we branded it and just kind of how our season unfolded. But it is very little about me and North Forney and more about how coaches can apply it to where they are now. But just some good stories through there and ways that someone can take and help grow their culture. And, you know, honestly, that first book of mine, my goal was to sell 100 copies, and I'm over 5,000 now. And it's not that I didn't work hard on it, but I really just honestly didn't have any expectations. So I probably wrote it in about a month. This one, I'm still working on it, honestly. And so I've been tweaking on it for about 6 months now, and I'm pretty proud of it. I think it'll be a really good addition to the first one.
Well, Coach, we're going to get you back on here when that thing's ready to release, because I'm interested to hear more about the work you've done. You do a great job, Coach, of just synthesizing all those things you learn and giving it back to everybody in a way that makes it simple, I think. So I appreciate all your work. For our listeners out there, you can connect with Coach at CoachRandyJackson.com. And his Twitter is at CoachJacksonTPW. Coach, as always, thank you for taking the time, and best of luck to you and the Goon Squad in 2019.
Hey, thanks very much, Keith. It's my honor, man. I appreciate everything you do for our great profession.
been a while since we had Coach on, but I really love having him on the podcast and having him share some ideas. He's got a great outlook on how you build a program and how you bring a culture together, and highly recommend his books. I also highly recommend you checking out our system for building culture, and we partner with Focus 3 and Brian Kite, and Brian's done a phenomenal job in helping organizations around the country, from corporate America to the education world to teams like Ohio State. If you read the book Above the Line, all of that book was about what Brian and his father Tim did to help out the Buckeyes. You could go get our system at usafootball.com/focus3. Check out our new Twitter at FBDEV Coach. We're doing some great stuff there every single day. We're adding to it as we go through the off season here. We want it to be a great resource for coaches out there. Also, check out our systems at footballdevelopment.com if you are looking for some cutting-edge techniques. We put it together in our advanced tackling system as well as our contact system.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.